21 minutes after the hour mark, it's Hugh Hewitt, Rocky Mountain edition of the Hugh Hewitt Show, broadcasting tonight from Denver, where I'm appearing with Dick Morris a little bit later. But I'm doing the Entrepreneur Hour because I waited late into January to do it because I wanted to, I had to do all the primaries, and I had the South Carolina primary, and Florida is now 8 days away. So this is a good time to make sure you get your entrepreneur junkie fix. And I've got three great entrepreneurs, very different from last few programs that I've done, courtesy of ERSOP. And ERSOP.com is where you go to get money. If you've got retirement funds, you can put them to work for you tax-free and open up your own business. I have Stephen Tierney. He's the president, chief running officer of upandrunningagain.org. I've got Melanie Holman, who is the founder of Sensitive Sweets, a wonderful bakery in Fountain Valley, California, which you can read about at sensitivesweets.com. And all the people with gluten problems I know are listening. We'll come back to that in just a second. And Trevor Sumner in New York City tonight, co-founder of Local Vox, localvox.com, a premier marketing platform for local businesses. All began their businesses or their entrepreneurial startup in the last 2 years. Now, Melanie, when we went to break, I'd ask the other two gentlemen what their 10-year vision was. I want to go back to you and ask you, what's the 10-year vision for Sensitive Sweets?
That's an easy one for me. I would love for people to have a confidence in a gluten-free product that's also dairy-free, egg-free, soy-free, nut-free, which is our product, and know that when they purchase Sensitive Sweets that they're going to actually enjoy the product. Right now, what happens to you is there's so many products available that are gluten-free that don't taste that great. And I'm a big consumer of those products. I have a bunch of it in my pantry, and I won't eat it. And so what happens with the typical customers, they'll walk in, they'll buy one cupcake because they're nervous, and they'll sit down, eat it, and then they'll come back and they'll buy a dozen. So what I'd love to have is for everyone to just know the Sensitive Sweets brand, it's going to be fresh, it's going to be moist, it's not going to be dry and brittle, which tends to be the typical gluten-free product.
And how did you get your skill set to do this?
Well, the science background definitely helped me a lot.
The civil engineering background.
It really did.
Careful, precision,
yeah.
Particularity.
Baking is a true science. Cooking, I mean, I'm actually not a good cook. I know it seems silly. I'm a terrible cook, and my husband's right here. He can attest to it. but I'm a great baker, and I think it's because it's so scientific. If you adjust the ingredients slightly, it screws it up, and my product is really difficult to make. That's one of the dilemmas that I have, is I have to have it made exactly per the recipe. But once it's made right, it's awesome. It's really good. And we have a great following of people, of customers that buy from us every single
week.
But
they drive
week.
From all over Southern
they
California
do.
To come to Fountain Valley to Sensitive Sweets.
I made a cake when we first opened almost 3 years ago, and this family moved 2.5 hours away. They bought the cake again from us this year, and they drove 2.5 hours, packed up their car with a cooler so they can get a cake from us.
That's
couldn't believe it.
Great marketing. Now, what I want to ask the next three round question, or the three of you, the next question is business plan. Again, I stay very focused on entrepreneurs who are driving around their car thinking, I wonder if I could do what I'm really passionate about. You're passionate about running, Steve. You're passionate about baking gluten-free products, Melanie. And obviously, Trevor, you're passionate about marketing. But you still need structure. So, Trevor, let me start with you. Did you go out and have a business plan in front of you, or did you just hang out the shingle based upon your past experience? And I'm looking at your resume for WePlay and all these other narrow step, all these other different startups. Did you force yourself to do the discipline of a business plan?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's important for everybody to understand, you know, what drives your business and whether there's truly revenue at the end of the rainbow. I mean, I think a lot of people, especially in the internet world, they come up with some great idea and they don't think about revenue going in, and then they get a local audience or an audience in general on the internet, and they don't know how to monetize it, and they don't know what works for their market. For us, it was very crucial to think about, you know, how we would monetize this. And then from our market segment, you know, what's a local business like a Sensitive Sweets willing to pay to make sure that they're everywhere they need to be? And what's the ROI that we can expect to get them based upon our capabilities? And then, you know, what are the cost of a sales team? I mean, we've hired 20 employees. That means we've got to generate enough revenue and do it profitably that it's worth everybody's while.
Now, did you have a time to profitability in your plan? How long did you think it would take to get to profitability?
I think in our original plan, we had a time to profitability of about 2.5 years, and we're on schedule. But I don't want to make it sound like it started as planned. You know, we've taken a lot of you learn a lot in the process of starting a business, and the ideas that we've had have matured tremendously as we talk to local businesses, as we understand more directly and spent the time. So, you know, I would say almost everything's changed, but at the same time, I guess they offset each other, so the time frame made sense.
Stephen Tierney over at upandrunningagain.org, did you have a plan when you started, or did you just have a great heart compassion for the homeless and a decision to use running to help them?
Yeah, we basically started with no plan. We kind of made it up as we went along. I mean, at that point, we didn't have a 501c3. We weren't a nonprofit. It was just me and a few other people that were just interested in trying this out, seeing if we could help the homeless. And it's developed from that point. We've added different things to our program. We've developed more of a business plan. We know how much it's going to cost us to put a person through our program. And so it's kind of taken on a little bit more of a life of its own, yeah.
How are you getting revenue? Where do you get upandrunningagain.com money?
We've had people that have given donations to us. You know, they see the heart of the ministry that we're trying to do. Everyone loves the idea, hey, I'm going to help someone, not just provide them food or shelter. We're actually working on them physically as a whole, and it helps them. And then we've had businesses that have donated. We've had... the races have given us a discount. We're running the Surf City half marathon. They've given us a discount. Long Beach half marathon has given us a discount as well. And then some of the shoe companies are somewhat willing, although they haven't really kind of stepped forward as much as we'd like in the help.
Okay, and Melanie, how about over at Sensitive Suites, the business plan? What did it look like?
It was thorough. It was really thorough. And we were almost... overanalyzing it to the point, because we're both civil engineers. My husband's also a civil engineer, and we were.
And he's very analytical. I know your husband.
Extremely, yeah. He's cute too. Yeah.
But, well, I'm not going to comment on that actually. But
we almost overdid it in the beginning, and we had a coach review it, and I remember he kicked it back at us, and we were so embarrassed because we were like, oh, we're not supposed to crunch that tight. So it was good. It was a lesson learned. And we have refined that business plan probably 4 times now.
Are you on plan?
We're on. Yes, we are on track. With being in the recession, obviously that's difficult, but we are completely on track with everything we have.
All right, when we come back from break, we're going to continue the conversation now about marketing and employees. So you can get your notes ready. How do you market and how do you get employees? We just heard Trevor Sumner of Local Vox say he's hired 20 people. Obviously, we've got a volunteer component to upandrunningagain.org, Steve Tierney's. And then Melanie, you've got to deal with the public every single day in a retail environment as well as an internet environment, which makes a different set of processes. So the Entrepreneur Hour continues. ERSOP.com sponsors this every single month, and I give you once again the emails. Upandrunningagain.org is the website for Stephen Tierney. SensitiveSweets.com for the wonderful bakery in Fountain Valley. And in New York, LocalVox.com, but it does local work across the country. I'll be right back. Stay tuned. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. 34 minutes after the hour, Americans, Hugh Hewitt broadcasting from Denver tonight. Looking forward to going back to education policy with Dick Morris in about a half an hour. But I hope you're enjoying the Entrepreneur Hour. I do this once a month, courtesy of ERSOP.com. If you're looking for capital, it's probably in your bank account. It's probably in a retirement fund, but you need to do it the right way so you don't get taxed. You can't put that money to work if you're thinking about starting a new business. And in fact, I want to ask our three people where they got startup capital from. Our three businesses with me today from New York, Local Vox, which is a New York City-based marketing business founded by Trevor Sumner in 2010. Sensitive Sweets is a bakery in Fountain Valley, California, that produces original gluten-free and nut-free wonderful treats. And then upandrunningagain.org is our not-for-profit, founded by Stephen Tierney 2 years ago. And so startup costs, let me start on the East Coast. Local Vox, Trevor, where'd you get the money?
We started with a round of seed funding from people that we had done business with before who trusted that we were going to build a long-term profitable business, and we showed our business plan and showed our path to profitability, and we raised a bunch of money, and gave us enough of a runway to get to profitability now.
Trevor, expand on that a bit for people who really, they always dial in on this, and they want to know, you know, I can go to mom and dad, I can go to friends and family, and that's called friends and family financing. But when you go out to find seed capital, were you actually talking to VC or were you talking to friends and family?
It's more friends and family and what's called angels, which is individual investors who are looking at a very early stage company and have capital to use and are interested in putting that to work. We weren't at the point. Venture capital usually comes a little later when you're more sophisticated. So these were mostly business partners that we had done business with, who understood what we were doing and had a lot of faith.
Melanie, when you started Sensitive Suites, obviously you've got to lease a place, you've got to buy all the cooking equipment, and you've got a lot of startup costs. How did you and your husband go about identifying capital?
It was friends and family. Fortunately, I had been spoiling a lot of my friends with all our baked goodies, and they believed in it, and I was able to convince them to help us out, and it's been great.
Are you on, like, the cusp of a food revolution? Because I have heard so many people have gluten issues and peanut allergies.
It's crazy.
And so if someone actually figures out how to make the stuff taste good,
yeah,
aren't all the big companies knocking on your door?
Yeah. In all honesty, we've been getting a lot of the local markets coming in, and they're blown away because the customers come in there and they tell them, you got to carry Sensitive Suites. And so we're verging towards that. We're merging towards that. But the problem is we're just not clear on what we really want to do, because we want to make sure our product's always fresh. And that's a dilemma when you get into the supermarkets.
And Steve Tierney, different model, of course,
yeah,
a not-for-profit, but you need someone to believe in you, obviously. So who funded you to get going?
Yeah, we're strictly volunteer driven, you know, at this point, no employees, but, yeah, basically myself was one, and then some friends, you know, the friends that believed in what we were doing were willing to put up some money to basically help us buy these shoes for them.
And how many people have you served in this program now?
Well, we've been doing it for 2 years, as you mentioned, and we've trained over 100 people to run a half marathon.
And how are they doing? Do you track them after they go through the program?
We do somewhat. I mean, we have relationships with them. We've developed friendships. We have a gal who is 50 years old, smoked her whole life, and was overweight. And at this point now, she has a job. She has her own apartment, her own place, and she's got a really nice job, too. And so,
in your heart of hearts, you think this can work for anybody?
I know it can work for anybody, because when we first started doing this, I initially looked around the room and thought, oh, that person is not going to do this. That person can't do it. This person. And they've all made it. If they want to do this, they can make it. The gal that I just mentioned, she did a half marathon, and I think I saw pregnant ladies walking faster than she was running. But she finished the race. She comes out to all of our races, and she wears that medal with pride at every single time that she can.
All right, now I want to talk about employees, or in your case, Steve Tierney, volunteers. It's really one of the hardest things. Trevor, I'll go back to you on the East Coast. You just hired 20 people. You got an office in Soho. Manhattan must be full of people, but how do you figure out who you trust the keys to a new venture to?
I think it's always very difficult, and I think you know, there's an adage that you should hire slow and fire fast. I think that, you know, we get a lot of our sales guys off of Craigslist and Indeed.com. For every person we hire, we probably review 100 to 150 resumes, and it's, you know, it's the interview process is just crucial that they meet everybody, that everybody unanimously. Signs off on the person, because there's nothing more important, especially in a startup where, you know, it encompasses your life, that you're in the trenches with people, that you're looking to the left and you're looking to the right and you're happy to be there.
More on personnel and marketing when we come back with Melanie Holman of Sensitive Suites, sensitivesuites.com, Stephen Tierney, President and Chief Running Officer of upandrunningagain.org, and from Local Vox in New York City, Trevor Sumner. That's Local Vox, VOX.com. I'll be right back. Stay tuned. It's the Small Business Entrepreneur Hour of the Hugh Hewitt Show.